And the next item on our agenda is the report of our governor's governmental affairs chair, Jeff Tom, for a governmental affairs report.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Is everybody enjoying themselves? Are you having a good convention? All right. Well, I'm glad that the bar is high. Now I can lower it for you. So, you know, there are times when all of us have doubts and we're all sort of wondering, boy, is it all worth it? And, you know, I think all of us go through that, right? Well, this weekend, you know, turned my doubts around. We had, your organization had over 25 people storming the Capitol on Thursday in a storm. And by the time it was over, the sun was shining. So, I'm not going to list all the people because I'd forget three or four, but I'll give you all the counties, or almost all of them. San Diego, Los Angeles, San Bernardino, Riverside, Bakersfield. Let's see, we have Santa Clara, we have Alameda, Contra Costa, Sonoma, Sacramento, and I'm sure I forgot a couple. Even so, you can shout out your county if it got missed. That's right. So we had an incredible turnout. And I'm going to tell you about the bills that all the folks went out there and tried to get our legislators to support. But I just want to have one more round of applause for all the work that these folks did. They covered almost 100 out of 120 legislators, and that's just an amazing number. And I'm going to tell you, I've already seen emails, I've heard of phone calls, things like that. I can't get them to do that for me. Now, maybe that says something about me, I don't know, but whatever. It really does carry weight when you folks get out there and go into those offices. So, the first issue that we worked on is AB 1865, and I want to give my congratulations again to Margie Donovan for all her incredible work on this bill, and others. Diane and Tom were there, and many others, but Margie has just been all along the whole road. She has been there every minute. AB 1865 is a bill that would do a couple of things with respect to dog attacks against service animals. It would broaden the criminal provisions that are currently in place to require that the dog, to take away the requirement that the dog be in discharge of its duties. So if the dog is relieving or on a leash being walked or in its garage or whatever, and a pet dog or whatever kind of dog attacks it, the owner would still be liable. It would allow the provisions to apply to dogs in training to protect all our puppy raiser friends when they're doing their jobs. And it would allow restitution payments to be made not only for medical expenses if the handler is injured, but also for lost wages, if you have to miss work due to an attack against a service animal. So we made some changes. You know, Margie and I worked hard on it, and others. It wasn't just us. We've had great support from NFBC as well. So we've tried to take, the bill got vetoed a couple years ago. We've made some changes that we think reflect what the governor did not like, and we're hoping that this year will be different, and we will need your continued support. So thanks, everybody, for that. Our second issue Is there anybody in the room that thinks that people in SSI are getting too much money? Yeah, I didn't think so. It is an unconscionable the way this legislator, and even more really the governor, has not stepped up to the plate. When everybody else has seen things get better since the recession, people on SSI have not. They have had some federal increases, but I think they actually had a state increase too, $4, roughly. I guess you could maybe go to the theater once on that if you went to the right showing and didn't eat any popcorn. But it's unbelievable, and it is long past time that we begin to remedy this situation. And so there is a bill, AB 3200, that we urged support for yesterday that would bring everybody's SSI level up to the federal poverty level, which in California is really not saying very much. But it would also reinstate the cost of living adjustment that we used to have. So do I think there's a great chance for this bill to pass this year under this governor? Probably not. But we have to push both for this bill and for the budget. And next year, if we are fortunate enough to get the right governor, and I'm not pitching any particular governor candidate, but if we get the right one, we may do a little better on this issue next year. But we have to keep pushing. We are the only organization that's really active in the Californians for SSI Coalition. We're the only organization of blind people that is active in it. And I think that speaks volumes of who we are and what we do and what we support. We are working in collaboration with Disability Rights California, who drafted a bill, SB 1396, by Senator Gal Gianni from Stockton. And this bill would establish an Office of Accessible Technology in the California Department of Technology. We know how many state websites are inaccessible, either in whole or in part. And we know that little has been done to remedy this situation. They are not complying with their legal obligations. This bill would establish an office to give guidance to these state agencies and to get them to have correction plans in place so that they will comply. Now, this money will cost a little bit to establish this office, but it will cost far less than the lawsuits would cost by not complying with their legal obligations that they've had for a long time. So we're hoping to, you know, get this bill through this year. We think it's a very, very wise piece of legislation to keep the state in conformance with its legal obligations. And the final issue is library services. I don't think there's an issue that I can count on to get folks out in this organization more than library services. So the good news, as you heard today, was that we didn't get a federal cut this year. Hardly anybody did. They're spending like crazy in Washington, D.C. I don't know what's gotten into them, but we'll take it. However, you may not know this, but up until 25 years ago, the state library, the Braille and Talking Book Library, was 100% funded by the state. Now it's 10% funded. The state has almost done away with all of its funding. And eventually, I am absolutely convinced that cuts are going to come in federal funding. And since there's so little state funds attached to it, when those cuts do come, both for the Braille and Talking Book Library and the Braille Institute, it's going to have a major impact on services. So we want to lay the groundwork now when the state has a little money to play with, and we are asking for a $400,000 budget appropriation. We're sort of going it alone at this point. We're trying to get allies, but yesterday, those folks that were storming the Capitol got so much positive feedback from legislators. I saw emails today, I heard about a phone call today, and that's just the first day. So, do I think we are likely to get that $400,000 this year? Probably, I would say the chances are not great. especially since at least we've maintained our federal funding level. But we've got it on the radar already, and we're going to keep pushing for it. And who knows, there's a lot of support, I think, within the Capitol to do something on this issue. And we're going to ride that wave this year. And if we don't get it, we'll come back next year. And I know I can count on all of you, can't I, to work on this issue. Thank you. So just a couple of other things to point out. There is a bill, AB 3223, by Assemblymember Grayson. And it is kind of a cleanup bill. Some of you may not think it is, but it really is. It is a bill to change the definition of Braille in the education code from Standard English to UEB. And that is cleanup, because that is really now the Braille that is in play in all 50 states. But what we want to do, and the author's office has guaranteed both me and apparently Gabe and Miley, who is their representative, that they will work with us. We want to make sure that just because UEB is the Braille standard, that doesn't mean that Nemeth Code is going to go out the window in our schools. And they are more than willing to work with us on that. So I also, with respect to our advocacy efforts, we had a great team for the legislative seminar in Washington, D.C., with Judy and Paul Patchy Jr. and, oh man, I'm artists, and there are others, and I'm blanking out on everybody, so excuse me for that. Pam, yes, of course, our Southern California contingent, Pam and Susan Glass. So we had a great team. We worked on, well, one thing we worked on with our Senate appointments was H.R. 620, which, as you know, would really eviscerate many of the protections in the Americans with Disabilities Act by imposing, among other things, a six-month waiting period. And we're pretty confident that Senator Harris is going to oppose the bill over in the Senate. It's already passed the House. We're not so confident about our friend Senator Feinstein, so we need to get the letters out to Mrs. Feinstein and make sure that she upholds her principles of support to the disability community that she always tells us she has, and votes the right way not to support the evisceration of the ADA, and therefore to oppose H.R. 620 over in the Senate. So I would urge you to get letters to her. We had some good feedback on H.R. 2050, our Medicare demonstration project bill that would establish a five-year demonstration project to cover prescription magnifiers and other similar low vision aids. So we have done good work here with this organization. If we have any time for questions, I'll take them, but I really want to congratulate all of you for your fine work, and I expect to be calling on you for more work as the months go on.
Hi, Jeff, it's Margie.
Hi, Margie.
I just want to add one thing that is critical. This organization can really help us with our legislative efforts if you write letters. Phone calls aren't as valuable, and they have to be signed. So we've worked with the guide dog bills with a number of ways to sign letters for people, create electronic signatures, et cetera, et cetera. So I can't emphasize that enough. So that's how you can support. Thank you.
Absolutely, and you don't have to be a John Steinbeck or anything like that. They like to hear from people, from everyday folk with their own stories to tell, whether it's testifying at a hearing or whether it's a letter. If you're a voter and you're in their district, they listen to you. Anyone else?
Yeah, we have one more.
Okay.
This is Alice Turner, and I would like all of us to stand and applaud Mr. Tom in his leadership the reason we were able to be so successful is that he gets it organized. He gives us information. He helps us practice. And his efforts are amazing. So I just want to applaud you, Jeff.
Well, you know, I thank you for that. I'm kind of embarrassed. But having said that, it's really only when you guys get out there. You know, they don't listen to me. They listen to Margie when we're going to those meetings. Because she's the one with the guide dog. I'm just sort of the, well, maybe I'm the eye candy. I don't know. But she's got the guide dog.
Oh, it looks like we have one more question.
My name is Rosemary Chase, and my question is, do you find that email letters or that written letters that actually come in the mail, just as statistics show, which is more effective?
I still think that written letters are more effective. But nowadays, email is becoming more and more common as the means of communication. But I think email is even more effective if you know the person, if you know your representative, if you know your staff member. And that's why it's so important to go during the summer or the fall and visit your district. Even if you don't have a specific agenda on your first visit, and sometimes that's even better, to go to one of their events, shake their hands, visit their district office, because then they, there's a blind person who I can go to get information, and they may come to you. And if they don't come to you, you can come to them and say, you know, remember when we chatted at whatever it is? And you can say, now I need your help, and I'm one of your constituents, and I need your help, and you're much more likely to get it. Because they know who you are, and they will listen to you. So, yes, written letters are better, but emails, if you know the person you're dealing with, emails can be just as effective. All right, thank you very much.
Okay, well, we're running a few minutes ahead of schedule, so I suppose that means we can tend to a little small piece of boring, tedious administrative business. Somebody has a question?
Sorry, there's one more question.
Go ahead. Who's calling for the floor?
This is Christy Crespin, and I have what I was thinking about is to be able to attach a letter to an email. That would work if we then knew how to do an electronic signature, which many of us probably don't know how to do.
For those of you that didn't hear that, Margie said, Christy, talk to me later. Margie, maybe. Okay. Who wants to do a door prize? Well, I guess we'll do one then. Okay, Roash, will you come up to the front, please?
Yeah, right here.
Here she is. All right. The president is calling for money. I like that. $25 from Greater Los Angeles.
Is Jeff still up here?
Jeff, you still here?
Oh, you left? Okay, Frank, you get the job.
Okay. Frank, well, okay, here we go. There's a ticket. What do we have here? Rush?
You need to read the name.
Who's that?
Who's it?
No. Tell Frank.
Who it is.
Tell Frank and he'll tell.
Linda
O'Neill. Linda O'Neill, are you in the room? Linda, raise your hand, stand up, squeal. There she is. Okay, Somebody's going to have a nice breakfast tomorrow. Well done.